Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We have been teaching for a few days on the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31. And there are a lot of characteristics in here that we have studied that are desirable for young women to follow and for a woman perhaps who didn't start out as a virtuous woman to then follow, or for a young man to consider when choosing a mate, or for a husband to consider when helping his wife and loving his wife as she begins to pursue what the Bible says about being a virtuous woman. All those are very, very helpful studies, and I commend them to you if you haven't been able to follow any of those studies with us for the last several days. However, now what we want to do is consider some typology. Consider the similarities between the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and the church who is the bride of Christ. In other words, when you read the description of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10 down to verse 31, you see all these outstanding characteristics of what a wife should be. But when you consider that the church is the bride of Christ, you also find all these wonderful characteristics about what the church should be. Examining these similarities will help us understand the church better and understand our responsibilities in the church better. Now, there are a lot of these, and I'm not sure if we're going to finish all these in one broadcast, or whether we'll take a little time with them and make sure that you have time to digest them and maybe cover these in two broadcasts. We'll see how it goes. Notice that the church's and the virtuous woman's characteristics are very, very similar. Look first of all at their price in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That is, then, for the virtuous woman, you can't buy a virtuous woman by promising her excellent jewelry. You can't turn her away from her virtue by giving her excellent jewelry. Her price is much higher than rubies. She's more valuable to you than the jewels. May I say something? The price of the church also exceeds, far above, the price of rubies. Why? The church cost Jesus Christ his life. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says he left all of those riches that he had in glory and came down here and literally lived in poverty. When he died on the cross, he had no possession left on this earth, because they even took his clothing and divided it up among the soldiers. He was left with absolutely nothing. But you know what? That price that he paid is the price that bought our redemption. You and I are bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Notice something else. Notice the church's and the virtuous woman's trust. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, in the practical sense, the virtuous woman is trustworthy, and her husband trusts in her because he knows, I don't have to go out and make this killing of a living to keep this woman in bonbons and minks and jaguars. That's not why she's staying with me. She's staying with me because she loves me and I love her. So whether I come home with a bankroll or whether I come home with an empty bag, it has no effect on our relationship or her faithfulness in our relationship. Same way in the church. We live by faith. Or as one man said, what we do by faith. We don't live by sight. So when you look at your Christian life or you look at what goes on in the church and you say, I don't see the glitz and glamour that I see going on in the world, don't worry about it. Jesus should have no need of spoil in order to keep his bride happy or in order that the church should continue to trust him. And I'm telling you, when you look today, the preachers have, for the most part, sold out to the world because they have found in the world's methods, in the world's business practices, in the world's raising of funds, they have found money. And the church, in great degree, has sold out in its trusting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and become spoiled by the things that it's getting from the world. The Bible describes in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 the church of the Laodiceans. And that church is boasting and says, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Well, that is absolute contrary to the life of faith. The life of faith is a life that is not obscured by money. You know that what the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to look to the world. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, what we get by faith, and God gives us everything that is sufficient for the what we need to do to live our lives and to live our lives as his bride. And this idea that men have to use their pulpits or their radio broadcasts as a means of raising money and appealing to you is saying, you know what? My husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not keeping his end of the bargain and I don't trust him anymore. I'm trusting you, our radio listeners. You see how mangled that is today? The church is, as a virtuous woman, should depend upon the Lord. I just got a missionary's letter the other day, and he and his wife had to spend $3,500 on necessities for the ministry. They had $100 in the bank, and they were praying. They knew that the things they had to do were things that the Lord was leading them to do. But they didn't say anything to anybody. We hadn't seen anything about that type of need in a prayer letter. They simply trusted the Lord. They were at supper one night with the pastor of a church they were visiting. And a man knocked on the pastor's door and came and said that he was so moved by the preaching of the missionary that he knew he had to do something to get his heart right with God concerning his giving toward missions. He was greatly burdened that the Lord had impressed upon his heart to give some money to this missionary. A lady came the same evening and brought some money for the missionary family. The pastor encouraged them to receive from his own folks these offerings, $3,500, and nobody knew of the need but God Almighty. You see that? The church and the virtuous woman, notice the similarity of their price. Their price is far above rubies, but also notice the similarity of their trust. The husband trusts in his virtuous wife. Jesus should trust in us and have no need of spoil. Listen, there are many a Christian who have lived with virtually nothing in the way of possessions, and yet their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than ours, and we are covered in abundance of goods. You understand the difference? All right, notice this also. When you compare the church and the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31, notice their good works, verse 12. The virtuous woman will do him, that is her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. Do you see that? So we are to do Jesus good. The Bible says we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Paul's letter to Titus, he speaks five times of doing good works. Let's go over there real quick and just read those five verses that commend you and me as members of the Bride of Christ to do good works. Okay, Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these sayings I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Notice that five times. Titus chapter 2 verse 7, verse 14, Titus chapter 3 verse 1, 8 and 14, Paul commends Titus to good works. And that's what the virtuous woman does for her husband, and that's what we are to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're comparing the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and the church, notice that their price is the same, far above rubies. That her husband trusts in her as Jesus should trust in us and not have to spoil us with goods. And that both maintain good works. Notice also their willingness in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh, watch it, willingly with her hands. She doesn't work with the wool and work with the flax and say, woe is me, I wish that I could be a career woman and be at the club all the time playing and carrying on and so forth. No, she recognizes that as a spouse to her husband, and a mother to their children, she is going to have to work, and she does so willingly. Willingly. We, as members of the church, should be willing to do everything that the Lord Jesus Christ desires. But I find these days that more people in the church want to serve God on their terms, not on His terms. I'm willing, Lord, to do what you want me to do, as long as what you want me to do is the same thing that I want to do. And if what you want me to do is not the same thing that I want to do, then I don't want to do it. That's what I'm seeing today. Across the board. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you, he's speaking of himself and those that are ministering to the Thessalonians, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Don't you know that's one of the reasons that Paul was so effective in his ministry? Is that he was willing to give everything, including his own soul, to those to whom he was ministering. A virtuous woman does her work willingly, and we as the church should do so as well. Notice something else. Notice the church's and the virtuous woman's food in verse 14 of Proverbs chapter 31. She, that is the virtuous woman, is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Well, when you read about the merchant ships, particularly in the days when they were simply traveling by the wind, merchants would leave from a country and they would travel to destinations where they knew they could find ivory and gold and other things like that. and spices, and they might be gone for months or even years before returning because they had to travel such great distances to bring the things they had gone to get. May I tell you something? We are just like the merchants' ships as well, because we get our food from afar. We get, the Bible says, heavenly manna. We get and live on the words of God, and they're from heaven. We live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We desire the sincere milk of the word of God. And you know what? It comes from afar. It comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Didn't that what he said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. But you wouldn't know that today. Christians are consumed by worldly food, by men that have taken the words of God and fashioned books according to the words of God and sell those books to make a living. And by the time you finish reading what they've said, you're not closer to God. In many times, you're further away from God and closer to the man. The virtuous woman, she's very selective about what her family eats, so she goes a long way to get what she needs. We should go all the way back to heaven, the God of heaven, to get our food from his scriptures. Notice also the church's and the virtuous woman's day. Now, this is interesting. Watch this. Look at verse 15 and look at verse 18. The Bible says about the virtuous woman, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So in verse 15, you know what? Her day starts before the dawn. She riseth also while it is yet night. And her day doesn't end until after the sun sets. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Before the dawn, she is providing for her family. And after they've gone to sleep, she is providing for her family. Her day is in the nighttime. Do you know something about the church? We work at night. The church age, that is the time we're living in now, that is the time between the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, or let's say the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the time of his coming at the rapture, that's called the church age. So it's a period that has already spanned nearly 2,000 years. And in the Bible, the church age is likened to nighttime. Watch this. Jesus said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I come as a thief in the night. Notice this. When Jesus Christ talks about his coming, he says, now, there's not anybody's going to know the day or the hour. He said, I don't even know the day or the hour. He didn't know that certainly while he was here in the earth. He knows now, but he didn't know then. And there are a few reasons for that, but notice this. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 35, okay? Let's look at the context in verse 33. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now watch what he says. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Look at the four watches in which he tells them to watch. At even, that's nighttime. Or at midnight, that's nighttime. Or at the cock crowing, that's 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning. Or in the morning, that's 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock in the morning. All of those watches are nighttime watches. What does that tell you? That tells you that the day of the church is the nighttime. And the day of the virtuous woman begins in the nighttime. You seen that? And ends in the nighttime. That's why we're admonished in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, to stay awake and to arise out of sleep. But you know what's happened? The church has gone into a slumber in this nighttime, and we shouldn't do that. You ought to be as vigilant or more so now than you've ever been before for the arrival and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, there are a lot of similarities in Proverbs chapter 31 and in, or the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and in the church. They have a similar price, a similar trust, a similar good works, similar willingness to work, similar food, similar day. And notice this. Notice the churches and the virtuous woman's field, verse 16. She, that is the virtuous woman, considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Well, according to the parables in Matthew chapter 13, the field is the world. And Jesus bought that field with his life, and now you and I work in that field. That's why the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is here in the world. That's why he said, lift up your eyes and look on the harvest, for the fields are white already to harvest. That's why in Matthew chapter 21, when he gave a parable to the Pharisees about the fact that he was getting ready to take them out of the position of authority and give the work to another nation, he said, he described that as a vineyard. The other nation is the holy nation of his peculiar people that you find in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's the church. It's the church. So the virtuous woman considers a field, buys it, and then works in there in a vineyard. That field is the vineyard of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now under the watch care of the church. That's where you and I work. We shouldn't be looking to the world to supply us with all of our covetous desires. We should be working in the harvest of the world to try to bring forth souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the similarity? Notice this also. Notice the churches and the virtuous woman's strength. Strength. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. The Bible says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Well, you and I operate with strength as well. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. David said in Psalm 71, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I believe one of the weaknesses in the church today is that the church has become reliant upon its own strength and not in the strength of the Lord. Now, the woman here, that is the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31, realizes that in order to accomplish the work that she has been given to do, she needs strength. And for you and I to accomplish the work that we have been given to do, we need strength. Well, it doesn't tell us where her strength comes from, but I know where our strength is to come from. It is to come from the Lord God. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But notice they're similar. Both of us have to work with strength. Notice the churches and the virtuous woman's merchandise in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 18. The Bible says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's working late into the night to produce the merchandise that she may be able to take to the market and sell. Well, here there is a similarity in that we both have merchandise, and there is a disparity in that she sells her merchandise and we offer ours for free. Our merchandise is eternal life. And rather than sell it, we offer it for free since Jesus Christ has already paid for it. Do you give out gospel tracts? Do you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to your friends? Do you give out Bibles? You say, well, no, I had never even thought about that. I wish you would, because listen, I perceive as a member of the church, and I believe you perceive as a member of the church, that our merchandise is good. There is nothing being offered to men in this world to compare with the wisdom of God, which is far above the price of rubies, and eternal life, which cost Jesus Christ his life. There's nothing in the world better than those two things. And so we have this opportunity to present people with eternal life, with Jesus Christ, with the wisdom of God, and you can do that through giving them Bibles, through giving them your testimony, and through witnessing, through giving them tracts that contain the words of God. Your merchandise is very, very good. Let me say one other thing. Notice the church's and the virtuous woman's ministry in verse 20. The Bible says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth for her hands to the needy. We minister to the needy. And I'm not talking about just in carnal matters. Remember the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18 who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, keep the commandments, and listed all that. And he said, I've done all that, but what lack I yet? The man was rich. He was very wealthy. He needed salvation more than he needed wealth, and he knew it. He said, what lack I yet? In spite of his wealth, he was very needy. And this world is very needy for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we've done today is we've simply made a comparison in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 20, between the virtuous woman and the church. They have a similar price, a similar trust, similar good works, similar willingness, similar food, similar day, similar field, similar strength, and similar merchandise. In other words, by studying this woman in Proverbs chapter 31, you learn more about the church and more about our responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the husband, the bridegroom of the church, his bride. I pray this study has been a blessing to you. It sure has been to me.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.